Session number 6203.
Mr. Stagno, tape 3. So what actually happened to you in Glasgow? How were you all organised there?
Well, the after our arrival, we were brought to London by train, of course. And this happened on Bank Holiday Monday. And we were taken to this station at Glasgow and put on this special train. There wasn't an ordinary, it was just a special train for the people on the boats, like, on the three ships, like, and brought to London, where we arrived at Euston that night. And of course, it was blackout. And we were transferred from Euston to the different centres we were going to by buses, the old style buses now with the open back and all blacked out and everything. And we were taken, say, met by voluntary bodies like WVS and people like that, and Red Cross and that, and taken to the different centres. In our case, we were taken to the Royal Palace Hotel, which is on the corner of Kensington Gardens in the High Street. It's not there now, it's called the Park Hotel now, so the Garden Hotel now, I think. It was demolished and rebuilt. But that's where we were taken to. And again, say, received by WVS and all that, and given meal and all that sort of thing.
What were your impressions of the English countryside as you went from Glasgow right the way down to London?
Again, as I say, exciting to me because it's so vast and fields and so I'd never seen a train before, so it was all quite an experience, quite an exciting experience for me, personal experience. Yes, I enjoyed it.
Can you remember any other impressions, your first day in England?
Our impression of first morning in England, in London rather, looking out of our hotel room where we was billeted, which was on the sixth floor, and looking out of the window there, and it's just massive area, you know, houses and tall buildings, and you know, it just seemed to go on forever more. You know, again, the old barrage balloons hovering overhead, and it was quite an impression. You know, so probably not see again, I suppose.
Did it seem strange to be going to London, the sort of the capital of England?
Well, it wasn't. It didn't seem so say strange. I wanted to go to London very much. Of all, I mean, everybody. In Gibraltar, when you speak of England, everybody sort of centres it around London. London is England, if you get what I mean, to the older people particularly. Not so much now, but it was in those days. And to be in London, to me, was the right place, you know. Immaterial what you know, the time was or, you know, what was happening at the time, but it was, yeah, for me, it was just a place.
Was there any war activity at that particular time when you arrived?
Very little. As I say, this is the early months, the early weeks of August, so there was very little activity in the way of air raids and that. You know, under the usual signs of ARP and policemen with steel helmets and buses with the doused headlights and blackout and all that sort of thing. But apart from that, no, there was no activity as such.
So how long did you stay in your hotel?
Well, the rest of the evacuees stayed there until 1944. You could, again, going back to what was said in the first evacuation, once you got here, if you wanted to, and you could opt out of the evacuation scheme while the, you know, for the duration, and go into your own private lodgings if you wanted to, which some people did, you know, rented houses, and although they were still under the evacuation scheme, but for the time being they were living on their own, you know, they were doing for themselves and that sort of thing. But they did return eventually with the main evacuation, you know, when they went back. But the remainder of the people stayed at this hotel till 1944, I believe, when they went back.
What was the situation regarding finance? They were
well again. Well, again, as far as I can remember, and here I must be a bit vague on this because, as I say, taking account of my age and that, parents like fathers were responsible. They had to pay so much in jib towards our maintenance, you know, and upkeep and that. What that was, I couldn't tell you, but they had to pay.
But did the British government pay anything?
I should imagine that they would have done, yes, because as I say, they couldn't have all been met out of that, those finances, I shouldn't think.
Have you any idea of your mother's financial situation, how she coped during this period of evacuation?
There was some sort of money paid out to them, but what the actual amount was, I couldn't tell you, not the actual figures. One exceptional. But of course, then we only had to buy, we didn't have to buy no food as such. The only thing we had to buy is anything that you want personal and wear clothes or. But we didn't have to keep ourselves, if you get what I mean. So whatever they got, although it wouldn't have been a lot, probably wouldn't have been adequate, but I don't know the exact figure.
Can you remember how your mother was situated and perhaps some of the other evacuees in your situation? Could they afford, for instance, to go to the pictures or take bus rides?
Well, you know? we did get to that, to the point of, you know, having bus rides or, as you say, or going to the pictures and things like that, small thing, you know. But nothing big in the way of any holidays or anything like that, not at first, you know.
Would you say most of them were hard up, the evacuees who came?
Well, I wouldn't say they would use the word hard up, but they were not, shall we say, well off. You know, they were just in between. They were just getting enough money. I'm only just, it's only a general opinion now, of just getting on what they needed, you know.
Of course, you arrived in August. The weather would have still been warm, but what happened come the winter? You know, would you have
well, again,
like woolies and
well, this is say that here, this is where we, when we said before, it wasn't a question of language. It was a question of food and the environment more than anything else. That did for the particularly for the older people who'd never been out of Gibraltar and that, the cold and the food and so the general environment that. Of England, like that, some of them suffered from, and we just had to suffer and bear it.
Would anyone have helped them with warm clothes?
Oh yes, yes. The WVS and that, which they did a marvellous job, you know, in keeping us seen to our welfare and all that sort of thing. Yes, they did a very good job, and in any way they could help, they did. Yes.
So what did you do with yourself while you were living in this hotel? How long were you there in all before
I was there till June 1941 before I went off to join the Navy.
So that would have been almost a year, wouldn't
almost
it?
Almost a year, yeah.
What was your sort of daily routine?
Well, up until we eventually got put into school, just a question of going, you know, playing and amusing yourself to the best. Going into the kitchen and gardens, playing. We were taken at first by, again, the WVS on little sightseeing tours and that sort of thing. I particularly, I don't know if I was special, but I was taken on a little tour, private tour, by one of the WVS ladies, you know, see the tower and things like that. A little tour of London. But as I say, up until the schooling came along, we just amused ourselves or something. Nothing else you could do.
How did people treat you? Were they friendly? Or?
On average, yes. You know, mostly quite nice, you know. No complaining that score, you know, not that we get today, you know, unfortunately. No, quite nice, really.
There was never any sort of reserve?
Well, you know, I'm not saying that, but I mean, they didn't in any way put themselves out to be nasty or nothing like that, you know. I'm talking about the people in the streets, you know. Because eventually, as I say, as the years went on, you know, we became more acclimatised to the to London or the English way of life, and we sort of became more assimilated into what was going on around us, I suppose.
Was there ever a stage where you were treated as sort of foreigners?
No, I don't think so. No.
How about this term refugee? You know,
well, this is a very, we resented this very strongly, and even to the case, I think he appeared in the national press, I think. because we resented this very much, because we felt that we had no wish to be here, and to be called a refugee, you know, and classed with anybody else who'd run away or something like that, we found that really annoying. And so we insisted on being called or termed evacuees for the rest of the period.
Could I ask you now about your schooling? You were living in the hotel with your mother, of course.
That's right, yes,
you?
Yes.
Did you have a room?
Yes, yes.
To
yes.
Yourselves?
Yes,
your
yes.
Mother?
Yeah, yes. And my mother used to at first help with the. Well, we had a little sick bay in this hotel, you know. And she helped in there first. And then eventually she went to work in St Mary Abbott's Hospital down in Kensington there. And as regards to myself, well, we eventually started school and just assumed a normal thing, go to school and back home. And
where was your school? Could you, you know, tell me about that? Where did you
go to school? We took over part of the Victorian Albert Museum in Brompton Road. One small half, the half facing Exhibition Road, which is obviously the Natural History Museum, that was remained open as a museum at that time. And the rest of it, that's the main entrance in Brompton Road, we took over as a school. And, you know, some of the rooms inside the museum were put out like classrooms, and that's where we went to school every day. It wasn't far, I mean, you had to walk along the High Street and down Exhibition Road, or cut through the Albert Hall and round the back there at Albert Mews and get to the museum.
And who actually taught you there?
Well, again, I think whatever, you know, they sort of raked up some teachers from somewhere, whether they were, some of them were Gibraltarian, which I don't think so, but there might have been exceptional cases, you know, there might have been some come over with evacuation for some reason or other. That was it.
How did the schooling there compare with what you'd been used to in Gibraltar?
Well, it didn't compare at all. They just taught you to more or less try to put you in a group that you were in Jib roughly, you know, to the same level, and just try to teach you, you know, the usual thing at school, you know, arithmetic and English or things like that, just to keep you occupied, I think, more, because there's no question of trying to continue your education, like, you know, us from Gibraltar, like, you know, there's too many people, you know, too many children mixed up, and I'd imagine they couldn't have organised that.
In your own case, do you think that your education suffered?
Yes, yes, very much so. I mean, when you consider that my education probably stopped in, say, the early part of 1940, started again, probably again, but a year later, in early 41, and finished again about the middle of 41, when I went in the Navy. Although we did have schooling in the Navy, I won't say we didn't, we did have schooling. But if I'd have carried on where I was, you know, without the interruption of the war, I probably, my education would have been better than what it was, maybe, I don't know. But it did suffer, let's put it that way. For the better or the worse, can't say.
As you say, for the better or the worse, because perhaps you might have gained.
I might have been a lawyer or something like that. No, seriously. Yeah, I think it bound to have affected my education, to say, for the better or the worse, but it did.
Mm. Do you think that sort of coming to England, there was anything beneficial?
Well, I can only speak personally, my own personal experience. Yes, in my own personal case, but about the others I couldn't say. But then, of course, the way things went for me was different to the others. But yes, for me, yes.
And how was this? You know, could you explain?
Well, I can only put it, you know, through going into the Navy and, did start a bit of more schooling then, and give me a broader outlook on life that I probably wouldn't have had if I'd have stayed in Jib and carried on my normal life as it would have been. Yes.